So our guest today, I've been building him up. Do you know who he is yet? You've just heard his marvellous voice.
He's put me down, you build me up, you know, you slimy slug.
This man is known as the King of Trash.
Yeah?
The Godfather of Garage.
Yeah?
And we're talking old school.
Yeah?
Go on!
Mike Spencer!
Yeah,
I'm Mike Spencer with an S in the middle. Don't you forget that, you slugs out there.
There we go. We've talked him into this for the first time. He's going to tell us his life story.
Going right back
from where were you born, Mike?
Where was I born? Take a guess from my accent. Duh, man, you know what I mean? I tell you that for nothing. You know, where does that come from?
Kings and High?
Kings and High? What? Kings Highway? Yeah, and Flatbush Avenue. You know, I'm a Brooklyn boy all the way down the line. Brooklyn. You know, I see all these people walking around with their shirts or their expensive designer clothes saying Brooklyn across there, but they don't know what Brooklyn's like.
Nothing like what you're wearing now. You're a survivor, dude.
Oh, yeah. I've been through it, and I'm still here standing or sitting or lying, so I'm the man.
We're going to come to all your many achievements later. There's a whole list here, and it looks great. We've got some great music. You've chosen 7 records.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been easy.
Pretty good stuff,
but
yeah.
There's some great stuff there. I won't give any of the game away. But let's go back to your first sort of musical experience in Brooklyn there. You're at home, listen to the radio or your sister's records or whatever.
What
can you remember that really turned you on? You thought, hey.
That's true, actually. Who told you that? I mean, who have you been talking to, my family? I mean... Imagine me, right? A little punk, about 7 or 8 years old. My sister's a bit older than me, and her boyfriends were a bit older than her, right? And they were all doing this old doo-wop stuff, you know, doo-wop my hey, bye-bye. They were all looking for some high voice little kid like Frankie Lyman or somebody like the Imperials and all that stuff. Somebody with a really high little voice. And there's this little punk coming in there trying to nick some of my sister's boyfriend's whiskey and stuff like that. I used to have these parties. I used to creep down the stairs and I used to keep their whiskey on the stairs. And
how old were you?
I was about 11 or 12.
All right.
And I was like digging, watching, you know, seeing what my sister was getting up to. You know, getting my sex education at home in the basement in Brooklyn. And they caught me one day and grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, and I squealed, and they said to me, wow, he's got a good little girly voice, this is before my voice broke, right? And they said, let's put him in the group and make him sing leads. So I sang with my sister's boyfriends, believe it or not.
Really?
You're psychic, David. You're just not just another pretty face, you're pretty cool, man. You know, you must have been talking to my autobiographer. Or is it my biographer?
It's a little Anthony in the Imperials. Inspiration.
Oh, they all were.
What other bands? What's the first track you've chosen for us here, then?
First band or group. They didn't call them bands at the time because they're mostly just vocalists with a pickup band. And was by the Schoolboys. It's Please Say You Want Me To. It's something I used to sing in the bowling alleys. You know, anywhere where there was an echo, anywhere where there was a glass enclosure, you know, in the bowling alleys. My heart. Where you can have that echo. All the Italians, all the Wops, all the Puerto Ricans, everybody used to go into little corners in the bowling alley and you'd hear them there. Also, we go down to Brighton Beach. Not Brighton Beach here in Britain, but Brighton Beach in Brooklyn. Right, there's a nice beach there because Brooklyn's on the coast, right? It's on the bay.
This is where you got like the doo-wop bands on the corner, and they're just
absolutely.
All like really,
yeah. And they were all like in the corner. You'd hear them all doing doo-ups there and doo-ups
mostly
there.
Mostly Italians.
Yeah, no, mostly just anybody. Irish. I mean, Brooklyn's is a mixed community of everything. You know, blacks, Puerto Ricans, you name it. And if you had a voice and you could sing,
I might have had a good bass voice. Maybe you did a high voice.
My love, I do everything. I can do the bass. I've been told I got the sexiest bass voice. Falsetto. Listen, let's not bore the pants off.
Let's hear this track. So it's the Schoolboys and Please Say
Please
You Want Me.
I have always wanted you to be.
falsetto. God, I'd give anything to just... Well, if I stop smoking, I might sing like that again. You never know. Boo! Okay. Dave, hit me with a question. Now, let's get the ball rolling.
Well, school. How was school?
Oh, man. School was great. High school. High school confidential. Spitballs and... it was great. I went to school in Brooklyn, high school, and then went to college in Brooklyn. And
did you do much music at school?
Yeah.
Can you remember your first public performance?
Public. I was in the choir, and we were doing this school play, South Pacific. And there was a song there, Nothing Thinks Like a Girl, da 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 da.
I love it.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. And the teacher, everybody during... practice used to sing Nothing Stinks Like a Girl, and the teacher used to go crazy, say, if I catch you doing that in the performance, a big night with all the parents and everybody, you're out. He was raving mad. And of course the night came when we had to do it in front of people, and I was the only one. I thought everybody in the glee club was going to do it, and I said, let's not, you know, like, let
someone had to, and it was,
and
you.
Everybody just did it the right way, and there's little old me singing Nothing Stinks Like a Girl, and of course he was lip reading everybody, and he saw me, he said, you out in front of everybody, and I was right in front of the whole audience, and you know, like,
and he wouldn't have changed it for the world.
He was a punk
back then.
Yeah. But that was my first performance. Must have been about 10-12 years old, and then started a group. Literally, I know they talk about garage bands, but how about basement bands? I was
we'll get to that in a bit, because we're going there via the sort of your early radio music influence.
I'll do anything you say, Dave. You know,
was just that you chosen Hank Williams.
Oh yeah, my main man Hank. He's used to listen to all the country and western stations, and the very few rock and roll stations.
I mean, that attitude. You see those old videos of him. He really had something, didn't he?
He was a king. I mean, now you talk about country and western, it's all schmaltz. There's nothing like Hank Williams. Is in a class of his own. There's nothing. There's Hank Williams and his country and western. He was just the his words, his music, his feel. And
an inspiration.
To
many people.
I do when I play solo, when I do my own thing, man. You know, I do one of his songs. I do a few of his songs, but one that I really like to do is "I Can't Escape from You."
All right.
And
do you punk it up a bit?
No. Well, I do a bit. I mean, I guess you can't take the punk out of the boy, but you can take the boy out of the punk, if you know what I mean. And it's. It's a good song. I like it. I like to play it, and I like to sing, and I feel it. And do you want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Hey,
Hank Williams.
But you'd never ask.
I can't escape from you.
I've tried and tried. From you, a judge. stone. I can't escape from you.
That's the main man, Hank Williams there. So we got Mike Spencer in the studio with us today on the Pirate Punk Rock Radio Show. Mike, you've been...
Hey-ho, pirates there, line up here.
You've chosen some great records. So, well, so you were listening to Hank Williams on the radio when you were like 11, 12, and then...
Hank Williams, yeah, and Chuck Berry.
Well, he come along a bit later, maybe.
Yeah, and I was listening to Jimmy Jones, and they were more commercial. They were on the actual radio. I mean, I used to have to go out and I'd buy, you know, the odd record and put it on, and
I bet some of them are very odd indeed.
No, I had some weird stuff, you're right. No, I had somebody who was a close friend. We used to call him Uncle Milty, but he was a DJ, and he was a type of DJ that would go around with records, and he just gave us tons, and we used to put firecrackers, because they all had like the big holes, and just fling them. God knows what classics, we just flew up in the air and let them explode. We had thousands. He used to bring boxes. And
Are you hungry?
Nah. Why am I eating the mic?
Yeah. I think so. Anyway, it all goes here at scratches and all, sort of overblown
yeah,
mics
why
and
not?
Stuff. In your face radio.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, sorry.
So you heard this guy Chuck Berry like strumming away on the radio there. When, can you remember the first guitar you picked up? What's the first riff you
learned? I had first acoustic guitar. I was an old crappy old Echo or EKO. Eco, whatever.
And yeah,
it was just something that I just acquired somehow.
And what's the first riff you learned on it?
I don't remember. Because I wasn't really a guitarist, to be honest with you. I remember I bought a bass, and the first thing I was playing was Byron Lee in the Dragonairs. Tighten Up. Some reggae stuff.
Yeah,
and I started playing. And then I was in a band... called Mighty Mouse, and I played the guitar on a couple of songs. Everybody moved around. I played the bass, played the piano. On the piano, he used to take a grease marker or whatever, felt it, and just marked the notes on it.
That's
just
cheating.
I know, man, but I played everything. And everybody just moved around, and everybody was singing.
Just
and
get up
playing.
There and
yeah,
do it.
I was
the right attitude.
I played Johnny Winters. I can't remember the names, but it was good fun. And the rest is history.
So what's the next track you've chosen for us?
You're going really fast into tracks. I like to talk. No, it's your show, Dave. Sorry. Sorry. So, what's the next track? You got the list.
We're stuck in the early 60s. I want to move.
Stuck in the early 60s.
To your bands and that's all coming later.
Oh, well, Chuck Berry, the man himself.
What's the track?
Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. As I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a coupe de ville. A Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out run my V8-4. Cadillac doing about 95, bumper to bumper, rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 104. My phone got hot and wouldn't do no more. Gun got cloud and started to rain. I tooted my horn for the passing lane. Rainwater blowing all under my hood. I knew that was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do. Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started out.
got some great riffs there. Now, Mike,
yes,
do
sir.
You remember
yes,
when
sir.
We saw...
I'm all ears.
We're out driving in the car together, and we saw Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley. Yeah, we did, didn't we? He was going one way, we turned around. It was just after we played with him down at Dingwalls. We played, and I had a chat with him.
And we was in the studio in Croydon, and he was at the Fairfield Hall and we saw him in the limo, didn't
we? Nobody would believe it. We said, no. He was driving a car. He was the only passenger. He was on his own.
He was in a car.
No, I think it was a Cadillac.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how many Cadillacs have you seen in Croydon? And Mike goes, there's both really quick, turn around. Get him, I want him.
We missed him, didn't we?
And you played with him the night before at Dingwalls, he arrived.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, we played a couple of times with him.
Legend.
Yeah. He had to stop the gig once. I had a fight with some geezer. He wouldn't let me go past him. He just come down on my foot, and I just, like, grabbed him, and we stopped. And Bo Diddley just says, hey, we got a fracas out there. We got to stop. And
you Brooklyn boys, you right there, aren't you? The
Brooklyn.
There.
Yeah. Can't help it, you know. It's the B gene.
B gene?
The B gene.
What's the B gene?
The Brooklyn gene.
Brooklyn gene. Oh, yep.
Sorry about that. This is serious now. Let's not get carried away.
You're sort of like 14, 15 growing up, turning teenager. You're still living in New York, in Brooklyn there, yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to high school?
Yeah. Yeah.
Medical school, I hear you.
Ah, that was years later.
That was late, okay.
Yeah, I was very bright. You see, I used to skip years, and I was so bright that they
so
just
So it's around about
rid.
This time, like, was it 72, 73, when you got a band together, your first sort of teenage band, the Belvederes, was it?
No, that was before that. But that was just...
The high school band, who were they?
Yeah, that was the Belvederes.
Okay.
But then in 73, 72, I started singing in these, like, commercial bands in New York. I had some weird names.
What's the other band you had? Miami Trash?
No, Brooklyn Trash. That was the last band before I came over here.
Okay.
Here being in Blimeyland.
Oh, in England, mate.
In England, mate. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah, we're broadcasting live from Gypsy Hill in South East London.
South London, yeah. You know what I mean? Eagles. Sorry.
So let's get back to the... So, like, 73, 74 in New York must have been a real... exciting time because you had bands like Blondie, Television.
That's right,
scene,
Wayne County.
And you worked with a lot of those bands, didn't you?
Yeah,
How did that come
Harlots
about?
Harlots of 42nd Street, brilliant band. I don't know if anybody's got any...
How did you come to work for the New York Dolls and roadie for them and store their gear and that?
I used to have a loft for my band, right? Brooklyn Trash. The
Kingbees.
Yeah, loft.
You lived in a loft?
I lived in a loft.
What a laugh to live in a loft.
What a laugh to live in a
good life.
You got a sense of humour, like. Sorry. Right out of a bottle of, what is it you drink?
I want to know about living in the giant fridge. You told me about that one night.
I told you, but you were so out of it that you don't remember. I didn't live in the fridge.
Bands used to rehearse it, no?
There was all these, see, loft living was like really cool in them days. You just hire a loft in Manhattan and just move in, and this one had, my friends had one that had a fridge, a massive fridge, and they used to just go in it. It was scary, though, because you'd always... get a little bit claustrophobic. Well, I did, at least. Yeah, I hate...
These be like warehouses or something, that sort of thing.
Warehouses. They weren't legal to sell, you know, to live in them, but people used to do it and get away with it, and rent was paid, and you know, nobody cared.
It's survival again.
Yeah,
the mean streets.
So I had, getting back to the real story, right, if you don't mind, I had a loft on 24th Street, just around the corner from the Chelsea Hotel. And I used to store band's gear there and play with my gear, you know, my band. And I got to know this band.
This is the Brooklyn Trash now.
Yeah. And I got to know this band, played down this club in Manhattan called The Mushroom and called The Miamis. And got friendly with them, and they were really good, a bit like the Beatles, they were really cool, really cool. And they were doing support for the Dolls, and they just said, oh, come along, you move us. And I moved them and moved the Dolls at the same time. I was just hanging out.
This is not the New York Dolls, is it?
And it was the New York Dolls.
Johnny Thunders, and who else? Who's the singer?
Jerry Nolan, David Johansen. You said that, Dave.
Okay.
He got Alzheimer's.
But he knows he's played guitar.
He's got Alzheimer's.
Oh, no. Well, Johnny Thunders would have been 50 last week. Anyway... So,
yeah, Johnny.
So you're in the clubs, really sort of soaking up the atmosphere of like the
learning
New York punk scene.
It hasn't
happened in London yet.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't here.
But when did you come to London? Tell us.
In 75.
All right.
After Brooklyn Trash broke up, we just like so many. I don't want to go on forever about all that, but I just decided let me just get out of New York for a while and just set up somewhere else. So I just said, where am I going to go? Chicago, which I lived at once before, and or London. And I remember seeing this film called The Collector. Or no, I'll tell you what, the greatest film I've seen was If.
Oh,
yeah. And I said, oh, wow. If was brilliant. And I said, I got to go over. I got to come over here. So I just got on a plane and come over. And it was great. And, you know, I never looked back.
You got a band together?
Yeah, I got a band together.
Quite quickly?
Mm-hmm.
And who were they?
The Count Bishops.
Oh. Okay, that's the track we started the show with. Yeah, the Count Bishops.
I didn't hear that.
Ah, now I remember this. This is like maybe the first time we'd actually sort of met or just seen one another was coming down to the Kensington. What was the gig in the Kensington there? Just round the back from the main road on that L-shaped bit.
The Kensington, it was called the Kensington Pub.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
When I first started working with the Sex Pistols, this is like March 76, right? Malcolm says, let's meet up down the Kensington and check this band out, the Count Bishops. And Steve and Paul had been before to see you down there. He said, come down there. Right?
All right.
And there might have been another band on as well. And we were at the back. This place was packed. And we but it was a good night out. And he wanted to
Making this up, Dave.
No, I told you this before.
Really?
No, it's in my book.
Okay.
It's straight up. I do remember that. You should know that. It was in your documentary about you.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know anybody who's firsthand there now sitting next to me across
the table. The idea
was
Malcolm identified who the competition was, doing the same club scene as they wanted to get into, right?
Pardon, I'm sorry.
And Count Bishops are one of those bands, along with Eddie and the Hot Rods, along with...
Yeah, Eddie and the Hot Rods, it was the 101ers.
Yeah, with Joe Strummer. That was another competition. Stranglers just happened.
No, they weren't. They weren't for a couple of years.
No, they were. They
well, were they, I don't know. You know 76. Better than me. You're older than me, so you know.
And a lot wiser, but that is sort of blag, really, because there's things Mike can do that I couldn't possibly do.
Yeah, like...
Like, create these miracles, like, hey, man, it's happening. He's juggling with so many things, so many projects all at once. And they all hit the ground together at the same time.
They all bounce, and nothing ever happens. That's why I'm sitting here and talking to you.
Right.
Okay, if it weren't for you, Dave, I'd be at home polishing my floor.
I know. We've got to get on, because I know you've got to get off and do an important engagement soon, you know, sort of times money and all that sort of thing. So, and I know we're paying you. How much are we paying him, Marla?
So far, it's a bottle of scotch.
Was it? Okay, that's fine. You got that then, didn't you? Right?
I'm really fine, yeah.
Okay, once you signed the release form, Sunshine. Okay, so, I know what, let's have some more music. You've chosen a track for us next on the turntable there. This is like reminiscent of your sort of, before you left New York, before you came to London.
Ah, yes, with my little eyes, I see the New York Dolls, and the song is called Trash. Go and pick it up, don't take my knife away.
Go and pick it up, don't take my knife away. Got it.
call you a lover boy. Try it! Pick it up! Pick them up!
Got Mikey Spencer in the studio here, live on the Pirate Punk Rock Radio Show, and he's telling us some intimate things about his life. He doesn't often speak as freely as this in public, but we've put something in the tea, and it seems to be working.
Well, I think it's called whiskey. Whiskey. I've got too much whiskey in my head.
So, Mike, so we've just gone through, like, you've been living in New York.
Right.
In this attic. You've been hanging out with the dolls.
Attic. It's a
Blondie.
It's
television. You're right there at the heart of the sort of New York punk scene.
Yeah, sleazy. It was good. It was good.
You've been playing. You had your band, the King Bees.
And then I had Brooklyn Trash. Yeah.
What sort of clubs were you playing with those guys?
We didn't play many clubs, to be honest with you.
What, parties and stuff?
No, we didn't play. I don't think we did maybe one or two gigs.
All right.
Just
that underground thing.
No, it was just we had people come up to the loft. No, to be honest, you've made me think about it. We didn't do that many gigs, but we must have done some. Maybe I don't know what.
Just happy to play to yourselves, you know.
No, I mean I was playing in other bands, but the King Bees. No, we just recorded. We got some great stuff. I got on tape on a 4-track.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooklyn Trash, we got together. And we were just like together for about a few months, and it broke up, and for certain reasons. And we just, I just decided, let me get the hell out of...
Have you got any CDs of these, the Brooklyn Trash?
I haven't got any CDs, no.
Would you like to buy some?
Well, I'd like to buy some, I'd like to sell some.
Camden Market is a guy, he's on the third thing down, I saw the other day.
Yeah.
Well,
he must have been in my house.
Mike Spencer bootleg.
No, I got it, it's there, it's on tape, we just have to dig it out.
All right. We'll dig it out and we'll play it on the Pirate Punk Rock Show.
Is this the Punk Rock Show?
So you're moving on now. You've come to London.
It's
1975, and in your arrive here in Old Blighty, what happens next?
Well, the first thing I do is I go to Earl's Court, don't I? Oh. Everybody goes to Earl's Court.
Australians do.
Well, yeah, and loose ends like me, and I just put an ad in the paper. It was a phone in the like a hotel, you know, just a bed and breakfast, you know. And I got a few calls, and... one of them was Zen, and he had a band called Chrome, and I went out and started singing with them, and then changed it to the Count Bishops. Got Johnny Guitar, Johnny Crippen. I know he's a mass murderer here, but I don't know if that's why he changed his name, but he came over, he was in the King Bees, that's right.
So not a name to go into showbiz with, really, is it?
What? Crippen?
Yeah.
Or Manson? What about Marilyn Manson? He's getting away with murder. He's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
He's not taking off in England, is he, really?
Mm.
I don't see it myself.
I see a lot of bootlegs of this. A
lot of money being spent on advertising. Well, you've seen a lot of bootlegs, didn't you? You have something to do one yourself.
Ah, Dave. Is this show going to be edited?
Not can a you bootleg. Take I mean, out? I did...
Me, bootlegs.
No, no, I know you like, manufacture you know. CDs professionally and all that.
But what are you aiming at?
It's him doing it himself. No, it's very clever because he makes it look like a bootleg, but it's the legal thing.
Which one is that?
I don't know, whatever, you know, but anyway.
I have a Sex Pistols bootleg.
Okay, someone's waving at me from the control room now. Okay, let's move on here.
I had the first Spunk, so don't you want to know about that?
We're getting to that, because your next track you've chosen is a Sex Pistols track, I see.
Yeah.
And you've got a very early connection with the Sex Pistols, because, as we talked about earlier, they used to come down and check you out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was, before they found John, you were one of the likely candidates.
I was the candidate. That's history. But, I mean, can you imagine me singing God Save the Queen? Hey, with a Brooklyn accent. Hey, God Save the Queen, the fascist regime.
That's the Brooklyn accent, is it?
It's a Mike Spencer accent.
So, you actually saw them very early on. Where did you see them?
Chelsea Art College.
Blimey.
It was their third gig or second gig.
Late 75 even.
Mm-mm.
Early 76.
No,
so
76.
You actually saw them before me. Okay, and you obviously...
I did a lot of things before you, Dave.
That's because you're older than me. You obviously got into them. It fitted into your background experience. I think we've got to wind this on a little bit here. Mike's got to get off. Okay, let's cut to the next track. Introduce it.
What is it? I can't see from there.
It's
E. O. M.
I. The other night, didn't we, Mike?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
It was good to see him. You know,
what was the highlight of the show for you?
Just Anarchy in the UK. It was good. I really reckon. I thought Glenn was the most authentic looking Johnny looked a bit podgy, and Steve, sorry, I mean, nice guys, played great punk.
Well, that was, can't all be in as good a shape as you.
Well, you know, it's all the drugs I stopped taking.
It's all the gigs you did. See, haven't been probably gigging enough or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true.
It was.
Like, anybody want to give us a gig?
Got our money's worth, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we had to pay again, eh? So, this is strange because we're living it here in Crystal Palace.
Well, that's right. Just down the road.
Just literally a couple of miles from where the Sex Pistols did their only gig they've done for 6 years. I hear they're playing in California now.
Are they? I don't know.
There's a big 25,000-seater with the Damned and the Buzzcocks and stuff. They're scheduled to play there.
Yeah.
And they're looking for a record company. Their Virgin deal has finally come to an end.
Really?
All these years.
Oh, I'll make them an offer, you know. Two pizzas and a bottle of scotch.
Yeah, maybe the Sex Pistols could be signed to Hit Records. Or is it London's Records?
No, that's shit without the S.
You can't say words like S on this program.
S. Okay, I won't say S.
You just said it.
S. Okay.
We'll be imposing certain fines later for this bad language.
I'm sorry, kiddies. I mean, you know, it's something I know you've never heard before.
But, Mike, look, let me first apologise to the listeners. Mike, we've gave him a cup of tea. He doesn't normally drink at all. Just for a laugh, we've laced it with a load of whiskey. He hasn't particularly noticed yet, but he's not making an awful lot of sense. Help, can you get, Marla, can you help him, Mike, up off the floor? Get back. Okay. And we've got Mike's life story here. We've travelled right out from Brooklyn. We're in London. We're in the height of the most exciting bit of the punk era.
Yeah.
Was 76, really, wasn't it? And
yeah,
77.
Yeah, yeah, 76.
And you're out there.
Yeah, even before their album, the Pistols album came out, there was loads and loads of bands. It was
and
great.
You saw them really early on at Chelsea Art College, which
yeah,
like their third gig or something like that.
Mm.
I saw them at the Nashville, which is about their fifth or sixth gig, and so
yeah, I was there too. That was with Eddie and the Hot Rods.
So we're crossing paths in
yeah,
these days,
yeah,
but
yeah.
We never really knew each other.
We never
met one another
on each other's
so much
toes, no.
Later,
no.
And that in itself was quite strange because I think you got the wrong number. Or something,
I thought I remember seeing you, and I thought, what a hippie, and I said, no, I'm not going to go near him. I think that was you, Dave.
It just so happened we signed on the same day at the same post office. So we spoke on the phone. He said, well, I'll meet you outside. So
that's
at the same
right.
time, wasn't
no,
it?
It was at the Brixton Dole office. That's
and then we went down the
oh, no,
pub.
No,
it's the one
okay,
in Gypsy
right.
Road.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those were the days, Jay.
And
you know,
Mike's
the,
got a label, haven't you? You've had
a label
for
yeah.
a while, doing your own stuff, other mm-hmm. bands. Quite yeah. successful at certain times.
Oh, it's just
you've had a printing plant. You've had a... pressing plot. Well,
this
you've had a
yeah, I've had, yeah, I've had a lot
machines
yeah.
and
yeah, 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 yeah. yeah.
Okay, Pebbles was a project that you that you you've given me some of it as well. Yeah,
yeah
Monopoly money was.
The trick is to spread.
Pebbles,
to
you were very
abroad.
Involved with, weren't you? Because you sort of remastered
right.
a lot of the old. Tell us about the Pebbles.
Well, a friend of mine from America, Greg Shaw, he came over and he said, "Let's put them out." Here and press them here and put out the best of Pebbles, which was like a compilation of I can't remember about 21 in the series and put out the best and it's been great.
Hello, Greg. He's been to a party in this in next door actually.
Hey, Greg. I hope you're feeling better. He's not well at the moment.
No, what's up with him?
You know, that's what happens when you live your life in a garage.
Oh, well, I hope
he'll be
okay.
All right.
He loves the music. What a fan, wasn't he?
He's more than a fan. He's an icon. He's the Svengali. I mean, he brought all that stuff. I mean, there was Nuggets, but he brought highs from the mid-60s and Pebbles. And that's like the backbone for bands like the Cramps.
All right, well, let's dedicate this next track from the Pebbles box set.
Yeah.
Or volume whatever.
Yeah. Volume one?
It's Calico Wall and I'm a Living Sickness.
I'm a Living Sickness. I'm a living sickness.
There goes Calico Wall from the Pebbles compilation album. And that track was called I'm a Living Sickness.
Well, speak for yourself, Dave. I mean, you are one, aren't you? Just look at that pussy.
Now, Michael Spencer, I've got a few questions here for you about this sort of era of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're out there in the punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a few clubs going then?
Mm-hmm.
Hammersmith, the Red Cow?
I was promoting. No, that's years ago.
Let's get it right.
Hey, this is going to the archives, isn't it? So
let's be accurate about
this. Precisely.
But you had your label going, right?
Had my label going,
and the band The Cannibals did. I mean, because we've done quite a few albums together. How many albums have we done together?
Four, maybe five.
So Mike come and recorded in a little studio we had down in Croydon. We used to go all night, didn't we?
Yeah.
I was on the controls.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of production we co-produced.
Oh, yeah, and thanks for the keeping me up all night, you know.
What else could we do? We had to get the music done, didn't we?
Oh, we had it. We had it together. We used to have great hiding places, didn't we,
David? Big record companies paying for it. It was paid for out of here.
Yeah, it was just one man in his little company, you know. It was great. Put some great stuff together.
Didn't we, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. And Surfadelics, The Huns.
Remember we produced that? How long did it take from start to finish?
We got there at 10 o'clock in the morning, set up the gear, band did their bit, and then they did a few overdubs. They left about 8, and then you and I went out and chilled out for a bit and came back. Mixed it, and it was finished, wrapped up just before the next session, cleaned up the place. They never knew we were there all night. Yeah, 23 hours.
You've chosen that as your last record.
Yeah, no, absolutely great.
Okay.
By the Huns.
All right. No, that's coming up.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
This is the last record. That's coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, look, let's carry on chatting here for a bit.
No, Dave, you're the boss man. Big boss man, Dave, what you want to say?
Well, you kept that garage music alive.
Mm.
When people saying punk is dead, there's still the surf, the rockabilly.
Absolutely.
And
it was the only thing that had bottle. It was the only thing that had, you know.
It's
can
live
I say the
music.
B word? Yeah, it was great. And like I said, there were other bands doing it. In the beginning, it was us just doing it. Quite early on, and then the Cramps were doing it in the States, and of course they were, you know, over here, and the Fuzz Tones and other groups, and then the Milkshakes, the Stingrays, all these bands.
Those guys, very prolific, putting out album after album, like the Cannibals are doing. And you're still doing it?
Still touring in France, you know what I mean.
When's your next gig? When's the Cannibals next gig?
Hey, we're going to play in New Jersey, Hoboken.
Where?
Hoboken, New Jersey, you know?
No.
Yeah, we're going to be playing there soon. We got a gig in Hoboken.
All right.
Manny's bar. That's true, really.
Who's in the lineup for that one then?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know.
Have you ever counted how many members you've had in the Cannibals?
No, I've tried.
Where do you lose count?
I don't know. Somewhere in 70 or something like that. I mean, I only consider somebody a cannibal if they've done a gig, if they just come down. Everybody, I go into places and everybody says, oh, I came down to have an audition. Everybody in there has been down to have an audition with a cannibal.
Doesn't count. You've got to have done a gig, haven't you?
Yeah. That's the only criteria.
Right.
And because then you're a true cannibal. Once you're up there on the stage, and we used to just be, you'd never know what we were going to do. So sort of unpredictable.
I remember the last Cannibals gig I saw in central London there, just around the back of Denmark Street, Tin Pan Alley.
Oh, that's right. Upstairs.
That rock. That was rock and roll.
That was good gig.
And I remember you had your leg in plaster.
And my leg, I just had a...
Didn't stop you, did it?
No way, no how. Hey, man, I'm a trooper.
Pooper. With the dress, I mean, I haven't seen you wear the dress on stage recently, but...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the old dress, the old wig, the old, just to cool off.
And
it's great wearing a dress. I mean,
you lived in a trash can. That's a dustbin.
I lived
for three months once.
Mm.
Yeah?
One of those big skips, yeah.
Yeah.
Just put a tarpaulin over it, and I was quite, it was cool, man. They just let me live there.
That's great. Now
this is all nonsense, but it might sound interesting to somebody out there.
Okay, now...
Some dustmen.
Yeah, I know at the moment you're putting together some radio shows, you've got your record label, you've got your manufacturing plant, you've got...
I got fleas, I got crabs, I got dust in my hair, I got...
You've got plans for the future.
I got plans, yeah.
What are your plans for the future then, Mike?
I finish this cup of tea with the whiskey and then just go home and polish my floors. I really do. I love it.
And musically?
I'm doing my own little solo bit, playing guitar, singing, and got a neighbor mate of mine who's plays a bit of drums. And we'll just walk ourselves around the country, around the world.
You got a name?
I got several names, but the one I like the best, the Jungle Bunnies.
The Jungle Bunnies?
Yeah, the Jungle Bunnies, yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, and, so it's another spin-off, like the Video Nasties. They've been gigging lately?
The Video Nasties was another name. The Screaming Abdabs, but the Jungle Bunnies, man, we're going to do jungle music. We're going to just, like, really jive the place up, really jive it up, just really bring it up and put some really good jungle rhythms.
Yep. Do you do weddings at all?
Bar mitzvahs, weddings, yeah. Wakes, you name it, we'll do it. You know, anything for a gig, you know.
Okay. Now, we're going to go on to our final track. Mike, thanks so much for coming in. There's so much more we could have spoke about, but maybe next time. Good luck with all your projects.
Oh, when I finish yet, can we play one of my own tracks? Oh, please.
I'm going to play two of your own tracks after the show.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that, Dave. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm cruising for love, man. I've got that going on the turntable.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah. If we've got time.
I'm satisfied. I can die with a smile on my face now.
I must say, I don't know if maybe we played it in a previous show, but your version of I Want to Be Your Man.
That is something else.
This is all over the Stones version.
Yeah, no, it is good. If you want to play that, I wouldn't say no.
The guitar sound to die for. Maybe we'll play that. So, all right, so look, introduce the last track then, Mike. Thanks for coming along. And finally, before you put it on, have you got a message to the folks out there?
Don't forget I'm lost for words. What am I supposed
to
say? Something
take a few
something
moments
prolific.
To think about it. Have a swig of tea.
Don't forget to wash behind your ears and clip your toenails tonight.
Very practical advice there. Any spiritual advice?
No, just think that you are God and God is you.
Oh, well, there was a halo around your head when you said that. So what's this track then by the Huns?
I Want to Kiss My Baby.
All right.
And we were there, and we mixed this, and we did this. This is what we just said before, all in one go.
Produced by me and Mike.
Yep.
Many moons ago, in 1970. What's the date on that?
I have no idea, about 84 weeks.
It's the Huns. They come from America, didn't they?
That's right. Just in for one day, and out they went.
And
this is history, and this is great sound.
I Want to Kiss My Baby. Can't do without.
God, that was terrible, Dave. What do you do to your records?
I don't know, man. It must have got beer over it or something. We need another... Something else.
Okay, put that one over there. No, not that one. That one over there. That's the one. The one with the big hole in the center. And just to lighten things up a bit.
What is it?
Little Joey and the Flips, Bongo Stomp.
Okay, let's hear it. Mike, thank you.
Right.
Mike Spencer, live on the Punk Rock Radio Show!
What's up, Rock?
Don't you just love those scratches?
Dave with the tight trousers.
Mike.
Yeah, Dave.
I want to finish off this Mike Spencer special with one of the Cannibals new tracks. What?
It's not exactly new, but it's the last thing that we put out, which is a bit too long in coming. It's Cruising for Love.
I'm a cruising for love.
It's a song recorded in my studio, written all by little old me, so you don't
Your
think I'm a little...
Valve studio. Mike's got an incredible collection of old retro gear, man.
Retro.
That's how you get that sound.
Retro kid.
Valve.
Okay, have we got enough time?
Cruising for Love. Yeah. Bang it on. Hit it.